Futures Past Editions and Deerstalker Editions audio presentation. With the publication of The Emperor and the Masters of Disaster, the seventh book set in the world of his legendary underground comic book and pulp magazine hero, the Emperor, Charles Lee Jackson II has set a new standard for others to follow. This time, the Emperor, a 1960s adventurer who's the head of his own privately funded secret organization for good, is up against invading aliens who have a diabolical plan to turn Earth's own weather into a weapon of mass destruction. The Emperor's world is one of spies, aliens, colorful villains, costumed heroes, and heroines engaged in the wildest and wooliest adventures you've ever read. Don't miss the first six books set in his rich, complex Emperorverse: The Emperor's Gambit, The Executive of Crime, The Emperor Marked for Death, Blonde Bombshells, Mark of the Cipher, and Trail Riders, or his newest thriller, The Emperor and the Masters of Disaster, available as an ebook at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes and Kobo, and in paperback at Amazon. Now, Deerstalker Editions and Futures Past Editions are thrilled to present the second part of this conversation between myself, Bill Mills, and Charles Lee Jackson II in this first ever interview with the creator of The Emperor. This part of the conversation focuses on what happened after adults pressured the junior high school-bound youth to give up writing and drawing his own comics, telling him that it was something that kids do and that he should start acting more like an adult. To his credit, he did make an effort to follow the advice of the authority figures in his life who felt that they knew what was best for him. So he put away pen and paper, with consequences the adults had not foreseen.
Not just, you know, going through life and finding some kind of a 9-to-5 job, because God, that is boring. And you know, for a while there, my life was just boring, and there wasn't anything. I didn't have anything to do that made me happy. So after a while, I just said, you know, enough of this, and started back in. I decided at that time that one thing about what they had said was right. The work I had done was a child's work. I needed to up the ante. So the end result of this was, instead of, you know, giving up on writing and drawing, I now returned to writing and drawing, and I made a concerted effort to make the writing and drawing better and more adult.
I said, well, I could take the characters that I used to do, or I could do a bunch of new ones. I said, I think I'll do a bunch of new ones. I did a bunch of new ones for a while. I wasn't really happy with them. When I got to high school, I started tinkering with doing a third generation of characters, and that evolved when I got into Kappa Alpha, the comics app, with some of the people at Losfus. You know, it's one of those things where everybody's putting their own fanzine in each month. So I said, to make mine different, I would draw it as a comic book. So it was basically the first, like, two issues were, you see me going down to meet with Castora, and we kind of hanging around and talking about stuff, and my mailing comments and observations of the were done as dialogue. And I was really pleased with it, and I said, well, okay, it's time to move on this. So at the end of one of the stories, suddenly my badge makes a noise, and I say, uh-oh, something's going on. And the next issue, we're off on an adventure. So basically, we went from Archie Andrews to Superman over the course of two issues.
When you started to illustrate your zine comments, did you imagine that it was the foundation to do a superhero character in a further series, or did that inspiration something that came up along the way?
That kind of came up along the way. I had two previous superhero-y incarnations of myself. When I started to consider doing it, I said, oh, I don't want to do, you know, one of them was a kind of a superhero you'd invent if you were 5 years old, and another one was a, being created about 1962, was a very Marvel Comics designed looking super character. And I decided, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it differently. And I said, what am I doing these days? Well, I'm wearing a jacket and tie a lot, so I'll make it a comic combination of superhero and super spy and super cool guy, and so it's like, okay, it started out a little James Bondy and somehow ended up being a little Matt Helmy along the way.
Informed by what you were watching and reading at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You are a big fan of Hamilton.
Yeah, well, because I hadn't read the books at that point, so it was Dean Martin-y.
That kind of cool.
Yeah, and also the more sport-coaty look than the three-piece suit look. But there's a point when I said, okay, I've now got this character, and he shouldn't be like anybody else. And so just, you know, built from there.
Can you describe for me how the name, rather than Super Guy or Charlie the Great, how did he become the Emperor?
That's pretty easy. When I was starting out to be a professional, I realized, I had observed that companies diverge. If they do different things, they don't do it all under the same umbrella. They have subsidiaries and associated companies. So there were all these different kinds of artistic things that I could do and wanted to do. I wanted to do pictures. I wanted to do television. I wanted to do comics. I wanted to do prose. I wanted to do radio. I wanted to be able to do all these things. And so basically I invented a company for each of these things and then worked out, here's a picture production company. It needs a distribution company to go with it. This company needs a publishing house to go with it. And I worked out, and eventually I had this long string of little companies, and I picked one to register as a fictitious business name, CLJ2 Presentations, and all of the rest of them were subsidiary companies. But what do you call this kind of corporate structure when none of them are corporations? I thought, it's like an empire. So if I'm going to have an entertainment empire, I'll have to be the emperor. And that'll be good for the stories because you've got the king of this and the prince of that and the duke of this and the count of so-and-so. And like, the emperor is a good nom de guerre. You know, like, I'm the doctor, I'm the Batman, I'm the saint, I'm the emperor. So it just fell, it seemed like, okay, this works really well for doing stories.
You won't want to miss the third and final part of this interview, in which Charles Lee Jackson II discusses childhood influences on his work and where the inspiration for the Emperor's loyal team of agents came from. Available soon from Futures Past Editions, Deerstalker Editions audio presentations. For Futures Past and Deerstalker Editions, this has been Bill Mills. Thanks for listening.